Tonight we're talking about chapter 23 of Mesillat Yesharim, of Path of the Just, which discusses acquiring the trait of humility. And humility, we know, according to Rambam, is one of the few things you're allowed to be extreme on. You're allowed to have extreme humility. In fact, not only are you allowed to have extreme humility, you should have extreme humility. Where do we learn it from? We learn it from the paragon of humility, Moshe Rabbeinu, Moses. Moses, it says, the Torah says, Anav me'od mikol. He was very, very humble. Anav me'od mikol adam, from anyone else. In fact, it's this week's Torah portion. Be'alotcha. We find in this week's Torah portion, his brother, his sister, is talking bad about him to his brother. It doesn't seem to be very bad. He's just talking about his wife. Now, it doesn't say exactly what he said. There's a whole big discussion. What exactly did she say about Moshe's wife? And the Midrash says that Moshe Rabbeinu was choosing the 70 elders for the Sanhedrin, for the court. It was just starting to form the Sanhedrin, the great court. 70 elders plus Moshe. The great court, there were 71 judges. Granted, the Supreme Court of America has 9 judges. The Supreme Court of Israel would have 71 judges in those days. 71 judges. That's in Jewish law, that's in Torah law. 71 judges. So he was choosing the 70 judges, and she overheard Moses' wife, Zipporah, saying, I pity those wives. He says, why? Well, the husbands will have to divorce them. So what? She said, yeah, my husband divorced me. Moshe Rabbein had to divorce his wife. Why? Because when he came down from the mountain, Mount Sinai, Hashem said, everyone else can go back to their wives, but you, Ataimadi, Poimadi, you stay here with me. Everyone else can go back to their wives, except for you, Moshe. You're not allowed to go back to your wife. So Zipporah is watching the ceremony, choosing the 70 elders of the Sanhedrin, and she's thinking to herself, they're all going to be like Moshe. They'll have to separate from their wives. When Miriam heard that, she said, who does he think he is? My little kid brother. Chutzpah! Who does he think he is? He's separated from his wife? I'm also a prophetess. My brother Aaron is also a prophet. We don't separate from our spouses. Who does he think he is? So she assumed that he was proud. Right? And straight away, she gets leprosy. And God appears and says, what do you have against my servant Moshe? He's the most humble person in the world. He's the most commanded. And God says, Moshe is the most humble. Don't think that he's doing this out of pride. He's the most humble person in the whole world. He separated because I told him to separate. So why didn't they have to separate? Because his prophecy was 24/7 and their prophecy was not. Obviously. Their prophecy was, there was warning. And when they saw prophecy, they were in a state of cleanliness. He had to be holy all the time. He had to be clean all the time to get prophecy. So he had 24/7 prophecy. He had to stay away from his wife. Tragic. But he already had 2 sons. And from there, Rabbi Beit Shammai learns out, the minimum amount of children is 2 boys. That's Beit Shammai. We learn out from Moshe. The halach is not like Beit Shammai. The halach is like Beit Hillel. We learn out from Adam and Chava. God created a man and a woman. We too have to try and create at least a man and a woman. A boy and a girl. So that's the minimum obligation from the Torah. Of having children, a boy and a girl, minimum. But there's no maximums. Okay, maximum is the sky's the limit, as people try and get. I was reading a very fascinating story yesterday. In England, there's a guy who just had his 18th child. He's not Jewish. 18th child. Not Jewish. So what happened? Well, he has an advantage. Why? He got his wife pregnant when she was 14. And he didn't give up the child from adoption. Why? Because both he and his wife were both adopted. Very strange story, right? So they love children. Because they're both adopted and they didn't feel like they have no families. And they love children so much. They had 18 children. It's like, where's the major expense? Well, there's no yeshiva education in Baruch Hashem for them. The major expense is food. They spend a fortune on food. Can you imagine? They list how much food they go through every day. It's like,
Hanoch Teller has 18?
Wow. And they started when she was 14. Yeah, he's starting later. It's hard for the woman. But some women are very strong. She just doesn't know birth control. Whatever God gives, that's it. She's very strong. And that was the Jewish way in those days. But in those days, the infant mortality rates were very high. And therefore, even if you had 18 children, only maybe 6 would survive. 6, 7, 8. Very high mortality rates. People die early. The medicine, imagine today. Imagine living without medication. Person gets some infection and boom, he's gone. In those days, common, very common. Guy's dead. He gets a cold, he's dead. That's why we say, God bless you. Anyway, our topic today is humility. That's why we were diverted to Moshe Rabbeinu, who's the most humble. Happens to be this week's parasha, Be'alotcha. So now, how does a person become humble? That's our chapter 23. How does a person become humble? Number one is regilut. Make it a habit. Become humble. Don't give yourself credit all the time. Don't say, I am the greatest. Right? So Muhammad Ali was the opposite of humility. I am the greatest. And Hashem says, you're the greatest. I'll teach you a lesson. You don't want to be the greatest. A person can never say they're the greatest. There's only one great. And that's Hashem. That's it. Hashem is the greatest. The person can always say, and that's what Judaism says, Hashem is the greatest. Hashem hu Elohim. God is the God. He is the... The word Elohim is interesting because it means the God of all powers. He is the greatest, in other words. He rules all the powers. Elohim is the plural. God is not plural. But he's... Elohim means the power. El is a power. He has all the powers under his control. That means the greatest. From one world to the next, there's no one else. That's it. He's not just the greatest in this universe, he's the greatest in all the universes. You know, for sure, there's different dimensions. From one world to another world. There's at least two worlds, this world, next world, but there's many dimensions. Many, many dimensions. Harigulatus, how does a person make it so common in his mind to be humble? We're going to talk about. And the second way to become humble is by thinking, by considering one's status in this world. Where is one's status in this world? Who are we? As David told Shaul, King David says to King Saul, when Shaul was chasing him, right? He said, why do you chase me? What? I'm like a dead dog and like a flea. Why do you want to chase me? I'm useless. What am I? I'm like a dead dog over here. That's the humility of David HaMelech. He also says he's a worm. Avraham Avinu said, what does Avraham Avinu say? Anochi afar va'efer, I'm dust and ashes. Sorry. So Avraham Avinu, before he argued with God about Sodom, first he recognizes who he is. That's humility. In front of God, what are we? With dust and ashes God put together. That's what it says in the beginning of Bereshit. Hashem took all the dust and gathered it together, made Adam Rishon. Made Adam, which by the way the rabbis say is the site of the Mizbeach in the Har Moriah. The dirt which came from Adam Rishon came from that site. That's where they built the altar. That's why it's called, the altar is called Mizbach Adama. The altar of earth. That was the site where Adam came from. Mount Moriah, behind the Kotel. That's where Adam was created, the earth over there. So it's two ways to become humble. Number one is habituating oneself to think humbly, which is very hard all the time. Think habit. The key to success in life is habit, good habits. If you already have good habits when you're young, and that's why education is so important. The job of parents is. What kind of education? Good habits. Form good habits in children. Once you form good habits, they're not going to change it. It's hard to change habits. So the kid has it. Number one is very important. Wake them up early in the morning. Don't let them sleep in. I had a very bad habit. Sundays, very bad. They allowed us to sleep in. My parents allowed us to sleep. It's very, you know how long it took me to conquer that habit? It took ages to break that. You sleep in, it becomes a habit. Oh, it's a break. Shabbat. They don't get up in the morning. Why do people get up in the morning? It's habit. You find people today, they don't bring their kids to shul. Now, when do you think the kid's going to come to shul? You think he's going to come by himself? If you don't build a habit when they're young, it's very hard to change. Today it's a miracle, Bali Tshuva. Miracle. I don't know how. It's a miracle. It's the merit of their forefathers. So it's very important to get into good habits. How does a person get into a habit of humility? Where a person sits. Sit with the simple people. There's an event and there's a dais. Sit with the public. Don't go up in the front. Always stand behind people. Don't go right to the front. Push away. Wear regular clothes. Don't stand out. Beautiful clothes and ostentatious clothes. And a person who acts like that, eventually the humility will go into his heart. That's a very important rule by Judaism, is behavior modification. That's the Sefer HaChinuch right at the beginning, right? In the introduction of Sefer HaChinuch, all these mitzvot are actions to change who we are. So the way you act is going to change how you behave. And that became a very important rule today in psychology, especially with autistic children. Making them act in a certain way can change the brain pathways, can rewire the brain. Amazing. That's exactly what we're saying here. If you act in a certain way, you act with humility, it changes the pathways in the brain. It changes the wiring in the brain. The person has a natural tendency to be egotistic. By acting humble, you will eventually acquire the trait of humility. Very important idea. So he says, normally a person wants honor. It's a natural thing, we all want honor. We want to be recognized, we want to be... So, if the person's going to break the trait of running after honor. It's very hard. And only when a person gets older, hopefully, it'll get to that level. I was reading an article today in the OU Action magazine, you seen it? It just came out today. About Rabbi Belsky, Dayan Belsky. And even though he was a big rabbi, he never lost his humility. He played with the kids. He was the head of a camp. And he would play around. He was like an American kid. He liked swimming. He liked paddling. He would go with the kids. I remember I was in Seattle. I was in Vancouver. And our neighbor was Rabbi Maimon from Seattle. He's an old man. So I took my kids on a Sunday. And I was taking the kids, there's a playground over there. And he comes, and there's like a little train for kids. I feel embarrassed, sitting on a train with the kids over there. So I'm going to take him. He goes. Strange sight. But it's very interesting to see. He had no airs. Don't put on airs. Be humble. That was the story of George Bush, right? When the Queen knighted him, Sir George. So they asked his wife, Barbara, how are you going to treat your husband now? He says, I'll say, Sir George, take out the garbage. So it shouldn't go to his head, he got knighted by the Queen. What? So we have to find ways to defeat this Yetzirah of pride. So hard, boy. Who does he think he is? Who does she think she is? Talk to me like that. How do they think? Who do they think they are? That's the person's normal tendency. Normal tendency. A person gets angry and upset for stupidity, and then fights, and it's very usual in spouses. Because sometimes they come home short fuse. Person worked hard the day. They come home, snap at the husband. The wife snaps at her husband, or the husband snaps at his wife. Who does he think she is? All of a sudden, she comes home and tells me what to do. So it's just a temporary phenomenon. He's going to just grin and bear it. But if it becomes a permanent phenomenon, you've got to talk to him. You've got to start talking. Yeah. Truth is no boss at home. It's a partnership. You have to work out a system where, you know, you take control of this, you have responsibility, that's all. Share responsibility. There's no big boss. Those days are gone. When the man was the boss at home, forget it. Doesn't apply today. Today it's a partnership. It's got to be a common partnership. What does that mean? They both have a say. They said when Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, I think it was, got married, he told his wife, you're in charge of all the physical aspects and I'm in charge of all the spiritual. But for him, everything was spiritual. Okay, so how does a person become humble? By thinking. And the answer is, in a very famous phrase, in Pirkei Avot chapter 3. Da me'ayin bata. Know where you come from. Oh boy. If we think about where we came from, we'd be disgusted. From a putrid drop. Oh boy. Know where you're going to. Oh boy. Can't even think about it. No, we all go to funerals. We don't really think it's going to happen to us. It's such a horrible thought. It's one of the three things that defeats the Yetzer Hara. We talked about in the Gemara in Brachot. Person says, I want to sin. What do you do? First thing you do is? Shema. Excellent. The second thing you do is? Bet Midrash. And the third, last thing is? Think about one's burial. Baraminan. Very morbid thought. Very effective though, boy. I don't know how effective it is because we have good imaginations. We have to use the imagination. Had to be buried in the earth in a. In Israel, there's no box, so no thought that the box is going to protect you. It's a myth. Those boxes don't protect. Because the Orthodox boxes are made of pine, and I've seen them break under the weight of the earth. It's like, that's not a box, really. It's a joke. It's pine. It's very thin pine planks, and it's the cheaper ones are very thin. In fact, that's what we want. Orthodox want thin ones that they should break. In fact, the Orthodox ones have holes. In the box, you're not allowed to have a box from the hole. It's got to be connected to the earth. So it's a really horrible process, thinking of the body disintegrating. Oh, God. Marbe basar, marbe rima. You overweight, the more worms there are going to be. It says worms, the person can feel the worms like pins in the body. That's strange, because the guy's dead. How's he going to feel the worms? So the answer is the soul is watching this, and feeling this, you know, my body is, oh God, it's disgusting. It's disgusting. It's very disgusting. So think about that. Where is all my pride going to take me? I'm created from junk, and I'm going to junk. Who am I? It's amazing. Who are we really? A man who has no purpose in life. A person who hasn't achieved any good things in the life. What did he achieve? Came from garbage, going back to garbage. Now what? So he lived for 90 years, made a lot of pop. Made a big bang, and that's it, it's over. What did he gain from all his pleasure and his pride and his conceit and his gava? Nothing. It's so hard to think about it all the time. A person's got to think about it all the time. So the first way acquiring traits of humility is through practice, just habit. The second trait is through thought, which is what we're talking about. And the third thing is, remember who you're going to give judgment before. Oh boy, that's a scary thought. How can a person even think about who they're going to give judgment before, you know? We have no concept of God. So, but he's a creator, he's all powerful. I'm going to give judgment. There's no answers. You can't give an answer. Someone who knows your thoughts. There's no excuses you can give. He created you. He knows exactly who you are. So what kind of excuse is he going to give? You're going to be stuck. You're going to be stuck. There's no defense. The only defense is the good angels you create in this world. What are the good angels we create? Mitzvot. Amen. Good things we do. Every good thing we do creates an angel. And every bad thing we do creates an angel. Oh boy. Just got to make sure the angels we create with our good deeds are better and more powerful than the angels we create with our bad deeds. Because normally a person does a bad deed with gusto and with enthusiasm. A good deed, you know. So the angels which created by bad deeds are much more powerful. The exception is Teshuvah. With Teshuvah, we can change those bad, good, strong angels into good, strong angels. That's the power of Teshuvah. That's why Baal Teshuvah is greater than Atzadik Gemur. That's the Kabbalistic version. Why is the Baal Teshuvah greater than the righteous person? Because his angels now are stronger, because they were done with the right gusto, and now they change from being bad into good. And they're tough angels. So a person's got to think about. We're so pathetic, really. We're pathetic, really pathetic. Because we think we're great. The only thing you can really be proud of is you save the world. If you save the world, you save other people, you can be proud of it. Save even one person, you can be proud of it. That's all you can be proud of, you know. I did something really good. Salk, Jonas Salk. Polio vaccine, right? But it was lives that he saved. Millions and millions of people. Wow, what a zechut. Jenner, Edward Jenner, right? Cowpox vaccine for smallpox. Amazing. You ever seen smallpox? Oh, God, horrible. What a horrible disease. What a way to die. God. Slow, painful death. Can you imagine how much merit the guy has? He stops so much pain and suffering in the world. That's merit. That's something a person can be proud of. But what do I do? Save people's lives. Save anyone's life. So a person's got to think. What can I do? What am I proud of? What do I do? What do I do in the world? What do I do to better this world? Tikkun olam. What do I do to help other people? How much people did I help? Make an invention that helps other people. That's fantastic. We can do something like that. Only thing is we have a little bit of a interesting idea, that is a spiritual help. If you can spiritually save the world from destruction, you save the whole world. It says, if there's only one person learning Torah, he's saving the world right now. You try and find a time of day where there's no one else learning Torah. You, if you learn Torah, you can save the whole world that time. You can tip the whole world from the kaf chova to kaf zechut. From the side of scale of bad to scale of good. So that's spiritual. So you can't see anything, you'll never know it was you. That's why you can't become pride. You'll never see. Maybe it wasn't you, it was someone else. And you try and find a time today where no one's learning Torah. Boy, that's hard to find today. It's amazing what people are doing today. There's never been so much Torah study than since the time of Chizkiyahu HaMelech, King Hezekiah. Maybe you go to Australia somewhere, you know, to the Southern Hemisphere, everyone else is sleeping in the north. Maybe one guy in Australia is learning where no one else is. But today in Israel, you have what's called a Kolel Chatzot, where they learn at night. They have a Kolel learning at night. Kolel Chatzot. Yeah, also nice to learn at night. It's good to learn at night. It's quiet, peaceful. Yeah, still not many of them. Not many. You can count them on their fingers. Oh, no, you know. Maybe there's four or five Kolel like that, learn at night. It's a very good idea. Because no one's learning. You get peak. It's peak season. Peak power. Pay the peak rates. Peak rates.
Double time.
Sure. Sure double time. Probably triple time. Peak rates. When no one else is doing a mitzvah, people are getting fortunes. Spiritual fortunes. You capture the market. There's a book, All for the Boss. One of my favorite books. Really great book. A guy called Rabbi Yaakov Herman. And he came to the country, you know, in the 1900s, early 1900s. And he tried to find a mitzvah that no one's doing. What was the mitzvah? Mitzvah was hosting the mishulachim. You know, the people who come to collect money. No one wants to host them. What's the guy? He was asking for money. You're coming and stay in your house. So he hosted the mishulachim. He was the only one. Everyone knew. Mishulach came to America. Where is the house of Rabbi Yaakov Herman? I'm coming to stay with him. He had an open house policy. He could come and stay. And they cook and they clean. His wife, I don't know how she did it. She would cook tremendous dinners every night. His rich guy had a first store. He had to open his own store because he would lose his job every Friday. best thing to do, open his own store. That's the best way. So he can't lose his job. And he had a fantastic business. Baruch Hashem, he was wealthy. Hashem blessed him. And he said, I cornered the market of Hachnas Anorchim. He cornered the market of that mitzvah. Find a mitzvah no one else is doing. There was a guy who taught Shatnez testing. I can't remember his name. Remember? Came to America. No one knows about Shatnez, mixing the wood and linen. No one knows how to check. He started the first lab. He knew how to do it. He started the first lab and caught on. Taught other people, and before you know it, he cornered the market. You can find a mitzvah no one else is doing and try and find a mitzvah no one's doing and do it. Otherwise, what are we? Who are we? So think about a person giving judgment before God. Wow, so that's scary stuff. Before the King of Kings. Today we've lost any idea what a king is. Because the kings we do know are small shadows of their distant past. Right? The Queen of England. Big deal. She can't do anything to you. Huh? Dictators, yeah. The greatest dictator was Saddam Hussein. Every year, he'd have a party for all his men. And then in the middle of the party, two guys would come in, pull a guy out and shoot him outside. And everyone inside is trembling. You know, doing who's going to be get killed? At least 10 people are killed every year from all his top generals. He knows how to put the fear of God into them, you know. Kim Jong. I don't know what's going on over there. We don't know exactly what's going on over there. He killed his uncle, he killed this one, he killed that one. Scary. So being in the presence of a person like that who has power of life and death, how much more than the King of Kings? So in America, we don't care, you know, what can he do? What can Obama do to you? He has no law, he has no power. He can't put you in jail. He has to go before a judge. Executive order. Right? Executive order. He's overdoing it. He can't put you personally in jail, he can make a law. No power. Motorcades, yeah.
60 cars.
Yeah.
80 cars. The motorcade for president is 80 cars.
Okay.
For this
person? Okay, it looks good. The Queen, she has beautiful horses and carriages, amazing.
Close streets of 80 cars.
Okay. So you see a little bit of cupboard. We don't see fear, though. You don't see fear. In America, at least, we don't see fear. Baruch Hashem, we're lucky. Maybe in Russia, Putin, I don't know. A little bit of fear. You go see Putin, you know. But today he's more relaxed. You see, he appears very relaxed. He's on TV, there are people around him, you know. He has a way of doing it, this guy. He doesn't appear like a dictator, you know what I mean? He knows how to run a good show. But some dictators already offered his head, take him out, they go like that. But Hashem is not like that. What we have to fear is His holiness. That's the hard part. That's the part we're going to be burning with. Person's not holy and they're standing in the holiness. Person's not holy and they're standing over there and you feel disgusting. That's the part we'll eat us up in the world to come. That's what he says over here. Hashem is the purest and the holiest and all his angels over there. There's no blemishes over there. And here the soul comes in. Garua, pachur, v'nevze, lowly, disgusting, unclean, defiled, because of their deeds. Hayarim Rosh, when this guy lifts up his head, he's talking about us. How will we be able to lift up our heads in front of Hashem? Will he have the ability to even open his mouth? And when they ask him, where's your mouth? Where's your genius? Where's your honor? Where's your glory that you had in this world? Stuck. We'll be able to open him up. What's he going to answer? So a person's going to imagine this case, situation. It's very hard to imagine because we don't really have much to compare it to. So you have a mafia leader. Big boss, a murderer who's big, glory and everything. Now he's caught and he's in front of the judge. What's he going to say? And that's the kind of situation. That's what he's trying to say. Listen, you, in this world we're so powerful, we think we're so great, right? Now imagine now you're before the judge. What are you going to say? The second thing that should make us humble is thinking about the passage of time. But it says, you know, right now I'm doing well, but who knows what's going to happen tomorrow. The greatest property owners, the greatest rich people, all of a sudden, what happened? I was reading about, who was this? What was the old bank that went bankrupt? Bear
Stearns?
Bear Stearns. One day the guy's sitting on $600 million he's worth, because of the shares. Next month he's worth $60 million. Okay, for us, $60 million is a lot of money. But for the guy, he was saying $600 million, now $60 million. Some people lost everything. Bear Stearns collapsed. This old bank collapsed. Enron. What was that company, accounting company? Anderson? What was the accounting company that went bank, that had to give in their license? Imagine. They were the auditors of Enron, and they put a false report. What's it called?
Anderson.
International. Was it Anderson? They had a consulting department, they had an accounting department. Anderson Accounting, something like that. And this guy, Anderson, who started in Chicago, who was known for his honesty. First generation, totally honest. They wouldn't twist any books. He was willing to lose the job than twist the books. And then all of a sudden they started becoming...
Arthur Anderson.
Arthur Anderson. Can you imagine? They lost their license. Not only did they lose their license, they gave their license away so they wouldn't be sued. Imagine an accounting company, massive accounting company, one of the top three or four accounting companies in America. Overnight, they gave in their accounting license. Closed down the business. Because so many people lost money with Enron. They were suing them left and right. They just quit. All these people had to go find other jobs. Overnight, boom. Enron, overnight, whoever put... Imagine people. I remember that time. You remember that time? People are buying shares in Enron, buying shares. It's going up and up and up. And this guy, they put out good reports. The balance sheets are very solid. Lies. What's it called? You spike the market and run. What's it called? Spike and run? Because their companies are...
Pump and dump.
Very nice. Pump and dump. So, same thing over here in this world. Everything's pump and dump. We don't realize everything goes in cycles. You see this in the story of Yosef. And nothing's changed. The economy, they say, is 8-year cycles. Yosef said 7-year cycles. Nothing changed. Every 8 years is another minor depression or major depression. Just goes around in cycles. Now, a person's very wealthy, but he doesn't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You know what's going to happen tomorrow? Look what happened to oil prices. Who would say it would go down to, how much did it go down to? $10 a pound? 20, 25, okay. Coming from 150 or whatever, 120, whatever, it goes down to 20. And how many companies went bankrupt, these fracking companies? Now who would think they're sitting on there, you know, making fortunes, and then all of a sudden, lose it all. So that's what a person's going to think that will make him humble. Right now I'm doing very well, thank God I'm doing very well, Baruch Hashem. Usually people don't say Baruch Hashem when they do well. Okay. I was going to say, thank God I'm doing well. But one mistake and the whole thing crashes. I was reading an article about Sears. Who started this guy Sears? Who was the first chairman? Jewish guy. What's his name? Huh? He was also a big guy in Chicago. Sears started. Everything started in Chicago. Jewish guy. He's one of the biggest donors to black causes. He opened schools in the South for blacks only.
Segregation schools?
I can't remember his name. I just read the article today. Where was it? Jewish guy. And he put his name on the schools. Everything's in his name. Sears, the founder of Sears. One of the big guys of Sears. Not the founder, but one of the CEOs of Sears. Became very wealthy. Gave $62 million away to black causes. In the 30s, I think it was. That's equivalent to like $50 billion today. And he named all the schools after him. Jewish guy. Strange. So he had all these schools with a Jewish name on them. Classic Jewish name. It's a classic Jewish name. But one day you're up, look at Sears today. Come on, came out bankrupt. Nearly bankrupt, no?
Sure.
Disaster. So here you're so high. Look how things are changing so rapidly. These computer companies you don't even know about today. Packard Bell, I remember, was the top computer seller at one time. Packard, you remember Packard Bell? I used to have Packard Bell. Then a few years later, I don't even hear about them. God, disappeared. Who else? Come on, tell me.
Apple.
That's Apple's one of the success stories, but you don't know.
No, but it wasn't doing well.
I'm saying the big companies that destroyed, they were destroyed. IBM. Biggest computer company in the world. And what happened? They're not even computers anymore. Apple and Mac, whatever. It's amazing. Look at the phones. Nokia was like one of the top companies. All of a sudden, nowhere. Zero. So why should a person get proud? Because they're temporarily doing well. What's going to happen in this world? Like a cycle. It's very hard because it happens to the people who are successful. It's one of the biggest yetzeras. Success, I'm successful. God, success goes to his head. The guy becomes proud, makes wrong mistakes, and then boom, it's gone. Before he knows it, gone. You have to admire certain people who are very, very wealthy and they're not proud. Bill Gates, what's the guy?
Warren Buffett.
Lives in a simple house, drives a stupid car, and he wants to give all his wealth away. He's not doing it for the money, he's doing it for the fun. Because how much money can you use? How much money can one person use in their lifetime? You can't have so much benefit. You can't. You'll blow up. How many houses can you live in? How many cars can you drive? How many islands can you live on? Every day you're going somewhere else. Going to live somewhere else. Where are you going to live? It's crazy. You want to have a normal life. So, once a pride goes to someone's head, it destroys the person. It's very easy for a rich man to become a poor man. It's horrible, horrible. It's very easy for a ruler to eventually become a slave. I'm reading out. It's very easy for a person who's honored one day to become a part of the garbage heap. We had a story, the Gemara gives us a story about this woman who was the daughter of very wealthy people. Remember, this is in Yerushalayim. What was her name? Something about Bartus. Remember her name? Gemara Gittin. And then during the siege of Jerusalem, she had all the money. Martha, but something. Was it Martha? And with all the money in the world, she had no food. She was sucking dry figs that someone else had sucked first. Sick. So it's a cycle, it just goes around. So why a person's now at the top of the cycle, don't be proud. That's what he's saying. Because who knows how long it's going to last. I tell you, people come, make money, they lose it. It's like a cycle, boy. I knew a guy, lost it three times, made it. Talked about the story. Amazing story. Had a guy in Vancouver, lost it twice. So he's at top, you get proud, at least the mistakes, and so it's better to be even keel. It's so hard to be even keel. And a person at the bottom shouldn't give up hope. One day he's at the bottom, next day he'll be at the top. You never know what's going to happen. It's called a galgal. It's a cycle in the world. The rabbis say it's a cycle. Wealth and poverty is a cycle. And therefore, when you have it, give a lot of tzedakah. Because when you don't have it, you'll need a tzedakah. When you give, don't worry, it'll come back to you. Eventually it'll come back to you. And if it doesn't happen to you, it'll happen to your children. My great-grandparents were very phenomenally wealthy. Boy, my great-grandfather. 50 houses. I don't know how many houses I had. Multi-millionaire, this guy. The next generation had 10 houses each, or 5 houses each. Because he had 10 kids, so 50 houses, 5 houses each. Next generation, barely had one. It's a galgal. Each generation, it just goes up, goes down, goes up, goes down. It's very rare to have it in the family. And if it's in the family, then you have trust fund kids. Oh, God, that's the biggest headache. They commit suicide at age 25. drugs and this and that. So, what's the point of getting proud? That's what I'm talking about. Thinking about things that will stop pride. And how much trouble can come from the money? Look at Safra. Edmund Safra. Tzaddik, he was supported. How many yeshivot? If you go to Yerushalayim, there's a Safra Square. Just outside the city hall. It's called Safra Square. He donated the square. It's beautiful. It's nice. Now, what happened? His money caused his troubles. What happened? He built this massive mansion. Where was it?
Monaco.
And he built the bathroom with a steel door that no one could give him break. That was his hideout. If ever anyone wanted to come into the house, he'd run into the bathroom, close the door. That's what happens. The stupid guard is a oh boy, his guard, the guy he paid, come on, look after him, is the guy who started the fire. He started firing the mansion, and the buzzers went off, emergency, emergency. He runs into the bathroom, the steel door comes down, he dies of suffocation of smoke. And people can't come in because the steel door won't let anyone in. So all the contraptions that he bought to save him, killed him. The guard he hired to save him, killed him. And he just made this deal with he just sold his bank. First Republic to American Express. Thank you for coming. Just was a week before, right? 18 billion or whatever it was. Amazing. He just made $18 billion. And he died the next week. Tragic. He's such a good man. But just shows the money cannot sometimes cause the death and not the saves. That's what we always ask for, a bracha. Hashem should bless it. Yivarech Hashem v'yishmerecha. Hashem should bless you with money and guard the money. Because sometimes money is a curse. You see kids who are kidnapped because they have money. Go to South America, oh God, it's like a jungle over there. You needed guards with machine guns to walk around wherever you go. Remember, I went for a rabbinical conference. There were like 30 guards on with machine guns provided by the government on motorcycles, wherever we went, like a motorcade. So you can imagine living over there. Each one has a guard. Your kids go to school with like two guards. This one, the wife goes shopping with two, three guards. Crazy. And then the people are kidnapped and they cut off the ear. They cut off his finger and they can ask for money. You don't give me $1 million by so-and-so time, you'll get a finger in the mail. Then you'll get his ear. Then you'll get his nose. Then you have parts. Crazy. So that's a curse of money. Money can be a blessing. Money can be a curse. So we have to pray all the time. V'rebach v'lo b'zimzum. What do you say? What's the next line? B'chavo v'lo b'zui. Hashem should give us the money with honor and not with disgrace. Right? Not limited, unlimited, with blessing and not with a curse. So a person could always think, I could always be, right now I'm here, but I could always be down there. And that's the scary part. That's what keep a person humble. And then a person's going to think about their obligations to God. And how much we are lazy. I'm talking about myself. People can learn. You can learn more. A person wastes so much time a day. It's amazing how much time we waste a day. Especially with the internet now. You can, look at the news all day long and not be satisfied with the news. It's amazing. There's always another headline. So even though you're not doing anything evil, but you're just wasting time. So easy to waste time today. So you're home and you have all the time in the world. That's why it's so important to have a routine of fixing times to learn like we're doing now. Otherwise, what do? You go home. And all of a sudden, before you know it, it's like another hour went by. Nothing constructive. An hour. So just thinking about that should make a person humble. How much time I waste. And then a person's going to think about the weakness of the human brain. It's much easier to make mistakes. It's very easy to make mistakes in this world. What is a wise person? Learn from others. And listen to other people's advice. It's so easy to make mistakes. It really is so easy to make mistakes. Investing mistakes. Any mistake. I can think of many mistakes I made in my life. Baruch Hashem, no. You know. The main things are your family. The main things are your children. What are the main things in life? Some biggest mistakes are people don't get married. This one came along, didn't like her. This one came along, didn't like her. This one came along. So what happens? Something wrong with this clicker. I know a situation. So in the end, what happens? The guy goes, Hashem says, why didn't you get married? Well, I didn't think anyone was the right match for me. And Hashem says, well, I think they were. I don't know. These are big, major decisions because no wife, no kids. Very simple. The guy dies childless. You know what kind of kalala? That's a curse. Bar minan. Yeah. It's a test today. Today's a test of the generation. It's like, okay, if you tried your best, you could help it. Okay. Because it's married and it could have kids. Okay. Baruch Adonai Leolam. Amen. Amen.